The Broken Gear, an original creepypasta by Cyneric Weird, a.k.a. Andrew Kane of Florissant, Missouri. My story begins on March 27th, 2018, in the middle of nowhere, a thunderstorm rumbling on the horizon ominously. I didn't care about the storm. Picking up the bottle of beer, I looked again at the pistol on the table, contemplating ending it all. I have no family. I was adopted over 19 years ago by a couple that didn't love each other. For a while, they tolerated each other, barely making small talk or greeting each other as they woke up. After a while, things were getting hostile between my parents. They'd throw names around and insist on fighting. It escalated to each of them trying to kill the other. I was locked in their closets when these fights happened. And after the fifth fight had quieted down, nothing. Nobody came to unlock the door, and no more sounds for about 3 days. When the kids from next door came to see about a little pocket money for washing the family car, they found my parents dead in a dried pool of blood, and me locked in the closet, unnaturally thin. Ever since that day, I've been thinner than the average school locker, my peers deciding to alternate between locking me in my locker or just beating me up. Come high school, I was never popular with the ladies, but I did have one that was special to me. Her name was Janice. I loved her. She seemed to love me just as much. The cops drove her to prison for whoring, and I haven't seen her since. I have no family or friends. Nobody would miss me. I picked up the pistol and put it in my mouth, almost dropping it due to shaking hands. Aiming upwards towards my skull, I fired off one shot. Then I knew nothing. Surprising myself, I blinked awake. Had it all been a dream? No, it couldn't have been. I could still hear the soft drip, drip, of my blood dripping from the ceiling, and I could see the bits of brain with skull sticking out of it, sticking up there too. Waiting for death, I lied there in a pool of blood for a while, hoping that once I started to bleed out, I'd stop thinking and fall into whatever awaited me in the afterlife. 1 hour passed into two, not sleepy. 2 hours passed and I'm not even... drowsy. 3 hours pass and I'm thinking I should really be dead now. I reached up to scratch the back of my head in puzzlement, but the expression on my face turned to disbelief. There was no hole in my head, so I got up and tried again. I emptied the whole clip into my brains before giving up. I couldn't die. I sobbed there for a while before getting up and walking slowly to my hoopty of a car, and driving to get beer at the closest gas station. Parking, I opened the door of the gas station and was met by the bright, cool interior of the shop. I selected 2 large cases of beer and plopped them down on the counter. Getting my wallet out of my back pocket, I asked, "How much do I owe you, Evan?" Evan being the only person I knew for miles, the owner of the gas station and on occasion drug dealer, of anything from crack to cocaine. Nothing was said for a while, so I looked up, and to my horror I realized he wasn't moving. He had been posed into an action pose like a mannequin. I checked his pulse. Nothing. His skin was cold and clammy. He's been dead for a good 4 to 6 hours. I panicked. Grabbing my beer, jamming it into the car next to me, I sped home and flipped onto the TV to see what the fuck was going on. Nobody moved in the live broadcasts. Recorded programs were still working like normal. Nothing was being broadcast on the news other than a story of a serial rapist. I drank hard that night and had to get out of bed the next morning slowly. Grabbing myself a cup of coffee to help with the hangover, a chunk of gray matter fell into my coffee from the ceiling. I just shrugged it off and drank the hot, mild... I shrugged and drank the hot, mildly iron-flavored coffee. Getting back into my car, I drove farther and farther, stopping at gas stations for fuel, food, and drink. Each one was the same, unmoving people as cold as the grave. How was the power still on, I wondered. Perhaps the energies of the electrical plant supplied was static as well, unable to be consumed but still providing power? I don't know. I don't think anybody ever came up with a study of how the flow of time affects energy. So I drove, never seeing a single person moving, that is. Along the way, I suffered two car accidents, both of which should have been fatal. I had broken into a gunshot and shot myself twice before pulling the pin on a grenade. After each of those fatalities, I would wake up on the floor with not so much a scratch. 2 months later, I drove back to my house, stopping at Evans gas station to gas up. I went in and saw something had messily decapitated the person I once knew as Evan. I whipped around, hearing something behind me break. A sigh of relief escaped my throat. One of the cheap snow globes had toppled off the shelf. Turning back to Evan, my heart would have stopped if I could have died. In front of me on the counter, under Evan's hand, was something that hadn't been there before. The gun. The gun I had used to commit suicide with the first time. 1 second crept into two, and then two into three. The crunching of broken glass alerted me to the fact that I wasn't as alone as I thought anymore. I ran for the truck, getting inside before something big hit the ground behind me. I turned around to see what it was. It looked human, but it couldn't have been. The ground where he trod caved in, causing little craters in the asphalt, and no human that slim could be that dense. He wore a black button-down shirt, the unbuttoned buttons showing off a bright blue shirt underneath, with some dirty, faded black jeans. It had a crazy grin on its face, showing off three rows of very sharp, very animalistic-looking teeth. Its nose was almost non-existent. Only two slits in the general area gave me a hint as to its existence. It had no eyes, however, no sunken sockets or eyebrows. He was covered in what could only be blood, and lots of it. I wasn't expecting what he did next. He calmly opened my passenger side door and sat there in the seat next to me, the car rocking alarmingly. I stared at it for what seemed like hours, silently sweating, before he turned to me and said, "Drive," in a voice that sounded like sandpaper being rubbed together. So I did. Nowhere in particular, but I drove. I opened my mouth to ask a question, but he raised a slim finger to his flat, colorless lips, effectively shutting me up before I started. "You must have questions, yes?" he whispered. "I'll answer them as best I can. Your first question would probably be, what are you?" "This I don't know. I came into being when you," he held up two fingers on each hand, in the gesture of quotes, "killed yourself." He turned to me, still smiling, and I asked, "Do you know what's going on? I mean, with the people?" At this he frowned, and in a displeased whisper said, "You did something you were not meant to do." He held up the pistol. "You see, everyone in the world is made a certain way to interact with certain things. If you imagine time as a big clock, then the people inside are the clockwork cogs. And if a certain part doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then the parts that it was supposed to interact with don't do what they are supposed to do, and eventually the clock stops or does something wrong." I turned to him and asked, "Is there a way to fix this?" His frown deepens as he says, "Eventually the one who made the clock will need to replace it, fix it. But the seconds that the creator... But their seconds are measured in your eons. You'll be here for a while, so get used to it. I look back at the road, flinching, noticing that there's a person in the middle of it. Swerving to avoid them, I accidentally discombobulate my passenger, nearly toppling the car in the process. "Hey, what's your problem? They don't care if they're hit anymore," he yells. "They're still people, and if you're telling the truth, then there's a 50% chance that they will care that they've been hit if I cease to exist," I voice. "No, they won't," he growled. "If your gear is replaced, then everything you've done here gets reset to the point you tried to kill yourself in." "You know what?" I say, keeping my voice level. "Give me my gun back," I held out a shaking hand. He smiles and hands it to me, and I put it in the box under my seat as he says, "Not like it'll do you much good. You can't die, and you won't shoot me because I'm the only other intelligent being on this hellhole." His voice sounded wispy, like it wasn't there anymore, and turning, he suddenly wasn't. I was alone yet again for a very long time.